Words for Life today is by Reverend Brett Peatman of Aspendale Presbyterian Church here in the southern suburbs of Melbourne.
Now, one of the things I was able to do some years ago is walk through a tunnel. The picture's not overly clear, but this is a tunnel out the back of the Blue Mountains in a place called Nunes. It's a rail tunnel where they've, in the 1930s, they had a shale mine at the other end, and they had a train carrying the shale back up through the tunnel. You can walk through this tunnel. It's about 400 metres long, so as you wander through, you start in the light at one end, it gets pitch black in the middle, and then you slowly feel your way to the other end. Of course, when I decided to walk, we didn't plan it entirely and didn't bring any torches or lights. So it's a little bit challenging through the middle section. What is stunning about the tunnel is it's full of glowworms. So you can actually see the walls, but once you get to the middle, you can't see your hands here. So it is really dark. And we were sort of putting our hand on the side and stumbling along, hoping not to trip on rocks. But as you kept stumbling through the darkness, you found and felt your way. And as you got closer to the other end, you can see a pinprick which slowly grows to become the exit to the tunnel. It's a great way to feel your way through the darkness. But when you're in the middle there, stuck in dark, you wonder if you will see the light again. How far is this other end of the tunnel? How will I get there? Well, the beginning of John tells us that Jesus is in fact a light shining in a darkness. That's verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it, or the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness. And over Christmas this year, we're asking the question of our community, do you see what I see? We have the light shining in our community, but do you see it? Do you understand it? Do you really get what we are talking about? And really, what we're talking about as we go through John is the fact that Jesus is really unique. He is the eternal Word. He is God. He is with God at the same time. He was there in the beginning. He made everything. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. So John is pointing us to Jesus. He wants us to see the cosmic centrality of Jesus, that it is Jesus who changes everything. In fact, I can see John getting upset with our calendar. He would say there isn't a before Christ time, there isn't an AD time either. Jesus was there before the world was made. Like, while the other Gospels look at genealogies and where Jesus came from in the Jewish nation, John says he was there before the beginning of creation, before the nation entirely. He wants us to take a step back and see the cosmic reality of Jesus. And this morning I want to move on to looking at a little bit of Jesus is the life, but really that Jesus is the true light. He shines. The preacher Martin Luther King said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that." Here Jesus shines in the darkness and puts an end to the darkness. Jesus comes to bring a change to the very fabric of how our world works and for our lives today. Verse 4 tells us, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Jesus' life shines and changes the way we see the world. His life, as we read of it in the Gospels, is supposed to change the way we see the world today. And that's what it does. It begins because we know the sovereign God, who is the source of all life. Jesus was not only the creator, but the source of all spiritual life. He sustains the world today. He's the reason we're breathing. But he's also the source of eternal life. He's the reason we will not die. But the darkness here in John is really a world estranged from God. A world departing from God, leaving God in the background. Very much like our mirror, it turns its back on Jesus. It turns its back on God. And that no longer reflects the light. Now, John the Baptist comes up in this passage, and his job is really to shine a light towards Jesus. One commentator called him a lantern bearer for Jesus. But I think our mirror is a better analogy. His job is to pick up the light that Jesus was shining and reflect it. He reflects a little bit of who Jesus is. He doesn't shine the whole light of Jesus. He just takes a reflection of what Jesus will be. Now you might ask, why in this point does John use light? He's already used some fairly abstract comments like the word and the life. Why does he call Jesus the light? I think he wants to contrast the difference Jesus makes shining in the darkness. That Jesus is someone fundamentally unique. That Jesus cuts through the reality of our world today and gives us a different perspective. He helps us see the darkness push back. You see, darkness doesn't push light back. Light cuts straight through the darkness. It is not challenged by it. Now, John was a man. He was sent from God and given a mission to point to Jesus. And we heard in chapter 3 how his disciples were worried that people were going to Jesus and getting baptized. But verse 15 sums up his attitude. Here, he cries out saying, "This was the one of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" Now this is confusing because John is older than Jesus. He was born before him. But John here, who writes the gospel, is telling us that Jesus was before him. He is the eternal creator, the God who became man. John knows his role was just to point to him and then to fade out, to fade away. John chapter 5, verse 35 tells us that John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. John preached about Jesus, and the people loved John the Baptist. They went out in droves to get baptized. But John had a reason to be there. He pointed to who Jesus truly was. Now, it's worth stopping at this point to say lots of people have objections to God today. They think God is distant, God is not really there. But as Christians, we're looking at real people in real history, in real time, who were there. We're not debating whether or not Jesus existed, although some people do claim he did not. They tend not to be historians, because no professional historians would say that. Jesus was a man who lived in history. He was there. And the stunning claims of his disciple John here are, this man is the eternal God. He is the one sent from God. He is God's one and only. And in verse 9, he was the true light that gives light to every man. He was coming into the world. See, Jesus came as the unique one from God who was showing who God truly was. Now, to be fair today, I don't think people see God like this, as a man who lived in history, as the one who was planned from before the beginning of time. I think in our society, people think of God much more like a bit of a bug zapper. If you say God is light, they think God is light, but you sort of hang him up there and people sort of go towards him, but most of the time he's just angry and zaps people. That is, God, who is the cosmic killjoy, who doesn't want us to have fun, he just wants to punish people. The God we meet in the Bible is quite different. John 3:17 says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus came to save. The light shines in the darkness, not to wipe out every bit of darkness, but to rescue people from it. Jesus came to save. Now, the other connotation that we don't always put with light is one where light involves holiness. Now, for the ancients, this was normal, but for us, I think we don't always equate light and morality, although you might speak of walking in the light. That's really a Christian term. I think to walk in the light is to make moral decisions in accordance with God's will, so that if you know who God is, you start to do the things you know you are made for. If we know Jesus as our Creator, if he's the one sent from God to tell us who God truly is, then he's the one who tells us what is really good. Most people today want to say, no, we don't need someone like that. We want to choose our own way. We want to be independent. We want to be autonomous. We want to decide which way we are going. But reality is, we're not masters of our own destiny. We're part of God's world. John 3:19 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Now, I remember chatting to a friend who brought up lots of different objections to Christianity. But in the end, he came back to saying, God just wants to beat us with a big stick. He wants us to do things his way. Well, in the end, what he was saying is that I don't want God to be my God. I want to be my God. I want to decide what's right for me. That's not how it works. If Jesus is the living God, if he is the cosmic creator, then he is the Lord. He is the light. He is the one who shows us the right way. But men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Now, often when I speak to people out in the community, they'll tell me lots of reasons why they might not believe. But always in the back of my head is there something behind all this? Is there something beneath this the person hasn't seen yet? What are they hanging on to that they don't want to give up? What are they putting between themselves and the light? What do they really cherish? A lot of the time it's sin. It's things that are evil that they don't want to go to God's way. They want to stay in control. Now, that quote I gave you from Martin Luther King, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that, keeps going. And it speaks of his philosophy. He says, hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. He's saying that Christians must love like God loved. Of all that, the anger and hate in our community, the talk of hate speech, which I think hurts those who talk about it more than others, that sort of hate cannot be resolved by hating. It doesn't work. We've seen that through the recent same-sex marriage debate. The net result, and one of the saddest results, I think, was those who constantly accused others of hate speech gave their own community, that is the LGBTI community, the impression that more than 40% of our nation hates them. That's not true, is it? Hate is not the only reason you might disagree with them. And it's really sad that people feel hated for what they do. Reality is, as Christians, we know that all people are made in the image of God. All people are loved by God. All people are valuable because they're made like that. And to hate them would be entirely inappropriate. Now, we're back with Martin Luther King, who says, hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. Loving one another, because we know that God sent his one and only beloved Son. The other implication I think this has, light shining in the darkness, is that our religion is not a private thing. We even saw that in Parliament in the last week. Some people assume that religion is private. That is, it's only for inside your home and only for in church. It never comes out anywhere else. That's not Christianity. Christians have always lived out their religion in public. In fact, that's why Christians do things like set up orphanages, set up hospitals, start schools, begin charities, reach out, because it is light shining in the darkness. That light is, as we reflect Christ, we start to love our neighbours. That is not a private thing. Now, what is the answer to our society today? It's very confused and confronting. We have a society that wants to have some sort of moral framework but doesn't want Jesus. They want their independence. Now, they don't just need more morals. They don't need more common sense. I think today what people need to see more than anything is Jesus Christ. John is saying our world is in darkness, and more darkness will not help. We don't just need better moral standards. What we need is our Creator, who gave them to us. Now, I was chatting to a dad in the school playground once. I told him what I did, and he said, that's not something people want anymore. We don't need Christian ministers anymore. Now, apart from being slightly rude, what he was saying is, I just don't need that at all. I don't want that. Now, what is he saying no to? Well, he's saying no to organised religion. I can understand that to a fair extent. He's saying no to authority outside himself. Do you think he's consciously saying no to Jesus? I don't think he's got to that point yet. His actions clearly reject Jesus and that whole problem. But I think when most people push Christianity out of their lives, they're not rejecting Jesus. They're saying no to hypocritical, condescending morality. They don't see the heart of it. They don't see the light where it comes from. And so they look around in the darkness and they're just feeling like they're feeling their way along the wall as they stumble, and it just seems like more darkness. Like that won't help. What people need today is to see the light. They need to see the mercy and compassion of God in Jesus. They need to see him shining brightly. Now, Augustine in the 4th century spoke of all people having in the middle of their lives a God-shaped hole. That's what I think people are clambering around in the darkness trying to fill. The struggle is, we're given Jesus to follow. He is the light shining in the darkness. He's the one who calls us to himself, but you can't half follow him. You can't put things between yourself and Jesus. You can't turn away from him. Once you see the cosmic significance of Jesus here in John, our job as his people is to follow him wholeheartedly, to leave the darkness behind. See, Jesus comes to be God's forever King. He is the Saviour. John calls him the true bread, the living water, the true light. He is the life. So if you know Jesus, you're not looking for something more. We see the light shining. We're here to ask our neighbours, do you see it with me? Can you see God made flesh? God visiting us, God getting involved in his world. Here we see the eternal, universal God made personal. He comes to us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only God. And today we see the light. Will you follow it? Will you get things out of its way so that you can keep following it? Will you make sure that you don't let anything take you back to the darkness? Let's pray that God will help. Heavenly Father, keep us in your light. Help us to look to Jesus and not to the other things around us. Lord, as we see him as your eternal word made flesh, as we see the light and the life that comes from him, help us to focus on him, not to let other things creep in and take us away, but to rejoice in what you've done for us this Christmas. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.